Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, April 30th. Round two begins in the NBA playoffs, and Pistons fans still waiting for news about their head coach. Your boy, Matt Shook, your host, is here, an AP sports writer out in Chicago covering the NBA, Pistons fan, follower, my whole life, sports newspaper reporter across the country for over a decade as well. Today, we're going to run down the update on where we are with the NBA playoffs. The first round is over, and I'm going to offer up some thoughts on the four playoff series in the conference semifinals, my predictions for all those as well. We're also going to be talking about Stan Van Gundy, a coach of the Pistons, we believe, and what the hell is going on with owner Tom Gores, the secret meeting in California, the silence from the organization last week as well. And we'll also have another segment of Pistons playoff playback, back to the teal jersey days for another one here. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, another fantastic afternoon on Sunday for LeBron James, 105-101 winners in Game 7 at home against the Indiana Pacers. Hats off to Indy, who had the season that no one expected. I saw that their over-under coming into the season was about 30.5 wins, while the Pistons were about 38.5. So obviously, huge overachieving season for Nate McMillan and the Pacers and Victor Oladipo as well. LeBron, which I don't know if you know this, but it's a French word for means the Bron. He had 45 points through the cramps. He had 9 rebounds and 7 assists played 43 minutes. And he said after the game that he's tired and he wants to go home. And he's earned it. I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship, though. I think he's playing up on that a little bit. Maybe playing possum a little bit for the Toronto Raptors series coming up. But 13-0 in 13 straight seasons in the first round for LeBron in his career. Just otherworldly once again, as expected by this podcaster. But just an outstanding performance by LeBron, the standard of the NBA, obviously, and the game's best player right now, and one of the top, probably the second best player of all time, and that argument will be shelved for another day here on Locked On Pistons. But the Cavs, as we mentioned, will play the Toronto Raptors on Tuesday, game one of their second round series. Give me Toronto in five, by the way. The Cavs are just not a very good team. It's a true one-man show back to the Mo Williams days of the Cavaliers there with LeBron just not getting any help, no second banana. Kevin Love's probably a little bit hurt right now and not playing very well, not a true number two on the roster that the Cavaliers need right now. By the way, the Milwaukee situation doesn't feel like a good one. They lost the Saturday night game 7 against Boston, who didn't have their top two players playing in that series. Giannis is under contract for 3 more seasons, but man, he's got to be looking around a little bit and wondering what's going on there. I would expect, obviously, a new coach coming in. Maybe Mike Budenholzer, who has left and parted ways with the Atlanta Hawks. Maybe some big roster moves as well. You got restricted free agent in Jabari Parker and some other possible names that could get moved there with the Milwaukee Bucks looking forward. And maybe getting a little panicky if you're looking at 2021 and showing Giannis a good situation over these next couple years before he approaches his contract year in 2021. But just not a great fit of a roster and team right now. But also on Sunday, game one, the Rockets crushed the Jazz 110-96. We're in complete control from the very beginning. 41 points for James Harden, and really, man, some tough scheduling there for the Utah Jazz. They're playing an emotional game 7 on Friday night late in Utah, and then playing game 6 in Utah, and then playing a Sunday afternoon game in Houston. Really brutal by the NBA there to have them have to do that. Reminds me of some of the former Red Wings playoff runs when they were in the Western Conference there. They'd go 7, and then I remember one series in San Jose a few years back that was like less than 48 hours after that they had to start a game 1. So I think I thought that was wrong of Adam Silver and the NBA to force Utah to play that quickly, like a 36-hour turnaround plus the travel. But they're Utah. Nobody cares about the little guy. So, oh well, I guess, if you're a fan of the Jazz. But obviously, like everyone else, I'm taking Houston in this one. I'll go 5 games out of respect for Donovan Mitchell there. Tonight, Boston and Philly in the other Eastern Conference series, that begins. I'm going to take Philly in 6 there. That series begins with an 8 o'clock start tonight on TNT. And then a 3.5-point spread, by the way. Philly favored by 3.5 at home against Brad Stevens and the Celtics. Golden State I'm going to go with a sweep for them over New Orleans. I think there was a I saw a lot of you guys on Twitter out there saying that this series might get a little interesting. There is no way. Maybe New Orleans wins the game at home, but, I mean, I don't see how this game goes back to New Orleans for Game 6. But I could be wrong on that one. I was wrong about the Pelicans in the first round, obviously. But I feel pretty confident about the four series picks in the semifinals. I don't think the semifinals will have the drama that the first round did, and that's okay. That's how it shakes out sometimes. But we'll see if the conference finals. Obviously, I think the series that everyone's looking forward to is Houston and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals, and that those are probably the two teams that have the most NBA observers saying have the best chance of winning the championship. So. And like I'll agree with everyone else that Philly is the team to beat in the East right now. They have far and away looked like the best team in the Eastern Conference. And as Pistons fans, we're still sitting here like, man, this Eastern Conference was wide open for the taking, especially with the way the team played Pistons-wise very early on in the season. If they were somehow able to maintain that and or some kind of effort close to that, you know, maybe they could have made a nice little run here in the Eastern Conference. But we. We'll talk about that a little bit as well, and unless we're seeing, I feel pretty good about those picks unless we see some kind of amazing LeBron James performance and he's able to carry maybe Cleveland's corpse past Toronto there. But by the way, I went, I believe, 6-2 on my first round picks. I had Milwaukee beating Boston, and pretty inexcusable loss by the Bucks, really. And then Portland, like most people, I had Portland beating New Orleans, and Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday and those guys proved me wrong on there. But after the break, I'm going to talk a little bit here about Tom Gores and Stan Van Gundy and really kind of ask what the hell's going on. It's turned into a little bit of an embarrassment for Pistons Nation as we're all kind of sitting here like idiots waiting for the word from the organization as it drags on longer than it should have at this point. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that demo sounds like a good one to you, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So if that sounds nice to you, email me to find out more at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com.
Yes!
Later on, we're going to be doing the Pistons playoff playback segment, and since we can't live in the present here in the NBA playoffs with these Pistons, we're going to instead live in the past. I mentioned it's the Teal Days, but it's actually the year right before the Teal Days that we're going to be talking about today. But this Pistons offseason, back to the present, this first part of it is already an embarrassment, and I'm not as hard on owner Tom Gores as many of you guys are. He's invested in the team. He spent money on the Palace after he bought the organization. He ushered in the move downtown. And he's spending dollars on the new practice facility and team headquarters in the news center area and brought in and paid money to get a new big name in here to help clean up the basketball organization and Stan Van Gundy, a move that was lauded around the league and around the fan base at the time as well. I don't know what more a lot of fans want from the guy, to be honest. Sure, he's known to have some pops at the game and throw the T-shirts out, and a lot of people get on him for not being around enough, but he lives in Malibu. It's better there. I'm sorry, Michiganders there. He's a Flint guy. He's from Michigan, so he's not like he's some grifter from another place. He's one of us, except, you know, he's a billionaire, so I guess he's not really one of us. But he's doing the things that billionaires do, and part of that is not spending a whole lot of time in Michigan during the winter. Again, sorry to report you with that bad news there. But this offseason, though, and we're over 2 weeks into it, 3 weeks on Wednesday after the Pistons' last game of the season, and we still don't know whether Stan Van Gundy is coming back. We probably know, but we haven't heard anything from the team. The fact that he hasn't been fired yet, and they met starting last week in Los Angeles, Gores and Van Gundy, obviously that's another indication that Van Gundy will be coming back. Now, maybe there's more details that need to be ironed out in meetings between those guys. Maybe they met and Gores said, you know, Stan, you need to give up your front office responsibilities and take the weekend and think about if you want to come back just as coach, or maybe they're even negotiating an extension, going back and forth on that a little bit. There are legit reasons that this could be taking a while, but I believe that this is one of those situations where, especially as an organization that's been losing a lot lately, you kind of need to keep your fan base in the loop in this one. Look, like I said, you've lost most of the Detroit sports fans. We're all wandering in the woods with all of these teams right now. By the way, I think we've all kind of talked ourselves into the Lions draft, which I think every NFL fan base does that. They talk themselves into their team's draft every year. And I've lived other places. I've lived around the country. Everyone wants to believe this time of year. We're not going to let the losses and the disappointments that are coming this fall for all of our NFL teams bother us right now here in late April. But the remaining Pistons fans that are out there, and there's not too many of those diehards left, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're still probably one of them. We need to be treated with respect on this by the organization. Now that I'm kind of going on and on about this, of course, we can probably expect some sort of announcement today about Van Gundy, but after meeting starting a week ago in California, I think that the two men have probably answered the big questions by now. Like, you know, am I still going to be coaching this team next year? I think that that's maybe more of a day one or day two conversation that you'd have if you're going to have several days of conversations about the future of that team. And if you've made that big decision, then pass it along to the fans somehow. We're sitting here watching these NBA playoffs, which this team should be in right now. Milwaukee, Washington, Detroit should have been better than those teams, which they had all sorts of strife. Milwaukee fired their coach in the middle of the season because he wasn't performing. John Wall, a star player that missed so many games for the Wizards down the stretch. The Pistons should have been in the playoffs over both of those teams. I believe that. And again, I'm someone who has said that I think you bring Stan Van Gundy back in as coach for one more year. I've said it, revamp the front office and maybe get rid of him in terms of that position. But the worst thing you can do is keep those diehards like the guys listening to this podcast and the gals listening to this podcast, keep them twisting in the wind like they are right now. The first round is done, by the way. You'll see Milwaukee officially open up their job soon. And maybe another playoff team or two makes a move with a coach. I don't know if Terry Stotts is in some trouble in Portland or not. But right about now, it's open season for all the coaches. All the teams that are going to fire their coaches are just about making those moves right now. And Detroit's sitting there twiddling their thumbs. Mike Budenholzer is probably the top name out there for anyone. He probably makes a decision sooner rather than later. Interviews with some teams, makes his decision. And Stackhouse is a name that's been interviewing with teams out there as well. I would expect Budenholzer to probably end up in Milwaukee if I were a betting man. But again, with Stan Van Gundy, no announcement, it probably means he's back. But I'm sitting here guessing, and like the rest of you are. But give us something to go on here. It's just crazy that they're leaving the fans twisting the wind like this, and I think it's turned into an embarrassment, even whatever happens from here on out. If they fire him, they've wasted a lot of time in searching for the next president of basketball operations or the next coach. And again, I got to believe that he's not getting fired from his coaching position at this point. But make the move and say something to us. Let us know what's going on. But back to happier times. We're going to be talking about the Pistons playoff playback here. Since we can't live in the present, we'll have to relive the past a little bit. But speaking of those Lions, I've been listening a lot to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry this week, getting ready for the draft, hearing his thoughts on the draft as well. And again, I think we've all talked ourselves into it, but the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry, check that out every day. Check out all the other NBA podcasts of the fan bases lucky enough to have their team still alive in the playoffs. And check out the website lockedonsports.com, the landing page for all the podcasts of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Also wanted to recommend the Game of Zones cartoon, the latest one on the Milwaukee Bucks. Bleacher Report does them, and they show them on TNT. I did one with Jason Kidd and Giannis. And if you're a Game of Thrones fan, it's right up your alley too, especially with the intersection of basketball as well. But check out that Game of Zones cartoon. I won't spoil it for you, but the Bucks, it was just, they've been doing this for a few years with Bleacher Report, and you should check this one out. It's by far the best one. It was so good that I had to go back and watch some of the old ones that weren't as good, but just an outstanding cartoon out there on the internet that you can find. But today in Pistons playoff playback, the year before the teal jerseys, actually, and April 30th, 1996. So we're talking about, 22 years ago now, which is insane to think about. But anyway, the Grant Hill, Lindsey Hunter, Allen Houston team had a sweep loss to Orlando in the first round. This was game three. The final game of that was on April 30th. The Pistons lost 101-98, ending year two of the Grant Hill era, and ending the third year of, like I said, Lindsey Hunter and Allen Houston, the third and final year for Allen Houston in Detroit, as it turns out. One of the really fun seasons, 1996, that makes you just kind of look back and hope that we're going to be in for a really fun season sometime in these next couple few, I don't know, decade for the Pistons. We'll see for the franchise. Don Chaney coached Grant Hill as a rookie but was dismissed before 1995-96, and Doug Collins was brought in for year two with some front office responsibility as well, getting the big-name veteran coach that won a lot of games in the league before. Sound familiar there? But the irony of Collins coming to coach a young superstar in Hill was not lost on the basketball fans who saw him do the same thing like he did with another young talent in the league in the late 1980s. But the Pistons this year went 46-36, and a really strong, surprising season, a huge turnaround after the Grant Hill rookie season was pretty much just him putting up big numbers for a losing Don Chaney team. But Joe Dumars missed about half the season with an injury, but he would return strong for the playoffs and also strong for next season as well, as in 1997 he made his sixth and final All-Star Game appearance. This is a team that kind of stacked up its front court with guys like Otis Thorpe and Terry Mills, Don Reed, Mark West. Allen Houston got 19.7 points per game in his final season as a Piston before taking the big money and heading out to New York. The Pistons earned the seventh seed, taking on Orlando, which was obviously a bad thing for them. They lost the tiebreaker with the Hawks that year. The Hawks ended up getting the sixth seed and taking on Indiana in a little bit tougher, easier of a matchup there. So Pistons kind of got the short end of that one there. So they ran into a third-year Shaquille O'Neal and second-year Penny Hardaway, the team that would, in all likelihood, dominate the East for the next decade after Michael Jordan would someday retire. But obviously that didn't happen as the Magic run into their own roadblocks as the years went on. The Pistons got beat by 20 and 15 in the first two games in Orlando, but I remember Game 3 well. For some reason, I didn't have a TV in my bedroom a lot as a kid, but this was one of those stretches of time that I did have a TV in my bedroom, the rotation of TVs. I ended up with one in my bedroom at that time. So to watch Game 3 from Inglewood in the bedroom like a big boy there, I think I was about 13 years old at the time, felt like a turning point for the franchise at the time. This is the first playoff year since the Bad Boys era was over. And they were in this one the whole way, played really well. I can remember being sad that the season was over after this game, but being really excited for what this young team had in store. But they did take the loss. They did get swept. They held Shaq to 13 points in that game. Penny had 24. Nick Anderson had 22. 33 for Allen Houston in his final game as a Piston, and 17 for Grant Hill. The Magic would go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they would get swept by Michael Jordan and the Bulls. There was the 72-win Bulls season the year after the Magic beat Michael Jordan in his return to basketball. I believe that was a second-round matchup that the Orlando killed Chicago in there. The Bulls obviously would went on to win their fourth championship of the six-title run there, so it was the first of the second three-peat for the Bulls, which is an amazing thing to think about, by the way. They would beat Seattle in six in the finals. Sean Kemp, Gary Payton there as well. Like I said, Houston would take the big money from New York in a seven-year deal in free agency. The Pistons changed to the teal uniforms that offseason, and the era started its plateau, really, after Houston left. The Pistons would lose in the first round in three of the next four seasons as well, with the other season being a playoff miss. They didn't make the playoffs one year as well. And then Grant Hill, of course, packed his bags for, ironically, Orlando. And it was against those Magic back then that Grant and Lindsey and Allen Houston gave us a glimpse at what could have been an exciting future for the franchise, but one that never quite materialized. So that's Pistons playoff playback. Hope you enjoyed the trip down memory lane today, but give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And then give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And if you're listening on iTunes, give us a rating and review and let us know how we're doing. That helps move us up the rankings when people are searching for podcasts, searching for basketball podcasts, searching for Pistons podcasts. They'll come across Locked On Pistons there as well. But we'll have some more tomorrow. We're waiting on Stan Van Gundy news. I got an interview lined up for later this week as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, all the support that you give to Locked On Pistons, and we will talk to you all again soon.